Right, well, with thanks to Lead Belly and Lee Morgan, this is the Taylor Report. I'm Philip Conlon, and I think we have Phil Taylor on the phone. Are you there, Phil?
Yeah.
Well,
it's Phil, how's it going?
It's going well. People got to hear again the interview with the president of Kashmir, Azad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we actually want to know, who is this guy Khashoggi, and what's going on over there? There's a big story in the Globe today, and the latest is that the U.S. Secretary of State is flying to Saudi Arabia as we speak to talk to the king himself.
Wow. Yeah. That's Pompeo? Which one is it? Yes.
Pompeo, yeah.
I always want to call him just Pompous.
Pompous, yeah.
Yeah.
Secretary Pompous is going to talk to King Pompous. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. They seem to be working on some way of not spilling blood all over the place, but it clearly this is going to be they're not going to be able to get this put together. There's some type of serious falling out that's happened. Now, we've talked about it on the Taylor Report before, that personally, I take it back to the failure of the Great Mission, organized by the U.S., France, and Britain, to remove President Assad in Syria. And the two strongest supporters of the U.S. and its policies in the region are Saudi Arabia and Israel. And the Saudis have been the leading voice in the region against the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is a target also of the U.S. for overthrowing, not a secret target. Listeners know that the Trump administration talks openly about it, which is a scandal, political scandal, it should be in and of itself, that they openly discuss removing a government simply because it doesn't match their policies. That, by the way, is developing into something which probably in the next 3-6 months it's going to become clear whether or not Europe is going to go along any further down the road of trying to confront and create a crisis and war, perhaps, with the Islamic Republic. But the two main partners in the region who agree with the policy, and by the way, I believe they have no choice but to agree, are Israel and Saudi Arabia. When I say no choice, the U.S. drives this policy. And their failure of the Great Mission to knock out Assad is starting to have repercussions for them, because all the men and material and money and heavy political and ideological work that has to go into attempting regime change, if it fails, it's like being, make the analogy of a boxer. If you miss, if you fail, you're the ones who are going to get knocked out. And there's turbulence all through the region now of states in these states that are part of this alliance against Syria. We have Qatar beginning a real ugly dispute with Saudi Arabia. And a lot of it has to do with, are we going to go forward with the mission? So Mr. Khashoggi's name comes up in that discussion in that he's very much in favor of the mission. Khashoggi was an early and close admirer of Osama bin Laden.
Can you just say that again?
Yeah, I'll say that. Good point. He was an admirer, supporter, and an enlistee with Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan when that was Brzezinski's great project and Carter's great project. And of course, it turned into, let's see, Clinton's big project, Bush Sr.'s big project, Bush Jr.'s big project. But then Khashoggi is a part of the group. His differences, we'll come to them, I guess. But so he also is very strong for the anti-Assad, anti-Syria mission. The reason we talk about this is to lay out motive for what kind of fight is going on inside the Saudi ruling group, and I think they're neighbors. This is not just going to be a Saudi fight. But when Donald Trump ordered the missile to be fired at Syria, Khashoggi, writing in the Washington Post or on his Twitter account, he said, "Now we are all Donald Trump. We are with Donald Trump on this." So when we, you know, people say, "Oh, he was for democracy and all that." Well, maybe, I don't know. He certainly wasn't for it. He was very much an advocate of heavy intercession, an attempt and to overthrow. Well, you know, for example, with ISIS, Khashoggi, in his writing, said that ISIS, when they beheaded people, beheaded them. He said, well, personally, doesn't do that sort of thing, but he said it's a smart tactic. He endorsed it as a tactic. So he's very deep in this stuff. By the way, I mean, whatever has happened to him, it's not because of these matters on talking about, other than the possibility of this reflecting this bigger fight that we've all noticed. I mean, I think some months back, remember that a good portion of the leading members of the Saudi ruling family, this collection of billionaire princes, were picked up, holus bolus, big portion of them, and you remember, stuck in a 5-star hotel, which they thought was torture. And they were told to divvy up a certain amount of money. We joked about it on the Taylor Report, saying this is a unique form of tax collection, you know. Just bring all the billionaires. Actually, maybe Ontario should try it. You bring all the top money guys, put them in a hotel, say, this is what we want from you. Otherwise, you stay, you know, you are our guest. Khashoggi was associated with some of them. One can assume their feelings have been hurt. I mean, I don't know how many sons, how many princes we're talking about, but I assume, like all families, one son thinks he's equal to the other. But behind it all is this bigger thing, is how much do they want to keep waging, paying for, basically, U.S. thought-up ideas for ruling the region. And as you know, or probably do, that the Saudis are sent a lot of bills where they're expected to pay for things, which are basically U.S. adventures. These aren't Saudi adventures, and that ought to bring us to Yemen. Today, Patrick Coburn, and I think Counterpunch, probably in the British paper, The Guardian, I think he wrote this, he said that the Yemen is a bigger crime, of course, and he's right, than murdering Mr. Khashoggi, assuming he's been murdered. He's right about that. But I think he's wrong in not saying that the Yemen issue, the bombing of Yemen, the destruction of Yemen, the murder of Yemen, the siege, it's being carried out by the Saudis, that's right. But it's only in collaboration with the British and the Americans, because the Red Sea and that particularly strategic region, as far as the Brits are concerned and the Americans, this is their responsibility. And they want Yemen. And they hook it up as a story about the people called the Houthis, and then the people that the State Department wishes to call Sunni. Actually, it's the people of Yemen. And this fascination that the great powers have developed for religious differences is only in order to play the divide and rule game. And they're not very good at it. We should all be happy that they're basically a bunch of, you know, there's too many bright guys in the room to get anything done in the Pentagon and the State Department. But this is not only a Saudi crime. There's no way that that this war would be going on with Yemen without the U.S. wanting it to go on. And who's my authority? Donald Trump. 2 weeks ago, he stood in front of a crowd, and he said, I told King, he said, I called him up, and I said, King, you've got to take, the price of oil's got to come down. And he said, and I remind you, you wouldn't last 2 weeks without us. Now, you talk about playing to the home crowd. Everybody in the room laughed, and a good portion of Americans who are caught up in the American exceptionalism story think that's funny. And he just rubbed the Saudis' nose in it. He just says, told the whole world, I tell them where to get off. So anything that they do, they're doing, that's his thing. Now, as for the murder, I think that, well, the murder is probably a house difference. I suspect that there are a lot of these people caught up in the alliance to remove Assad, and I shouldn't just say President Assad, but I should start with the words President Assad, the government of Syria. Those caught up in that project, which is really bogged down because of the air power demonstrated by Russia, where they are legally in Syria, they were able to check Israel and Turkey and other powers and Mrs. Clinton, who wanted, when Mrs. Clinton said, we're going to have, what do they call that, a no-fly zone? A no-fly zone.
Yeah.
Over Syria. The way they had got one over Libya was when they encountered a problem, which everybody had to watch closely. Russia is a longtime friend, ally of Syria, and they have a base in Syria. So it was a naked, violent challenge to Russia, which they said, all right, you want to do it here? We'll do it. You're not going to fly over Syrian airspace without, you know, some kind of an arrangement where we have hegemony, and that's what they've established. And it's made it, as a result, the situation is stabilized. The long-term struggle is still at issue. But Jordan is sweating bullets. And Iraq now is opening its border with Syria. And this is not something the Americans want. But the people that they've been using that are Saudi and Qatar have been providing all the money. And I would give them this is you'd have to say about Israel. They're risking their necks for the U.S. because this is U.S. policy. And it is not, you know, the Saudis are not out on their own. So when people talk about it, that's where I think, you know, we at the Taylor Report, we differ with them. And the Khashoggi matter is just a bloody, sudden moment that throws a little light on who or what's been going on. The question is, can the royal family of Saudi Arabia survive this American adventurism where they've been supplying money and most of the skullduggery? You know, they pay for private, they have armies all over the place. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, but the headquarters for it, one of the key headquarters, is Saudi Arabia. The way the press here is playing it is to make it into, oh, they don't want democracy, and they're having a little trouble with, you know, that isn't the problem, in my opinion. The problem is that they've been egged into an adventure, and that they're now, that adventure is proving to be threatening to their existence. Little Jordan sitting there. Jordan has got a monarch who's definitely just a hired character. He opened his border, by the way. Jordan has opened its border with Syria. So while there's a long way to go down this road, the complexion in the region, the political complexion, is changing. And Saudi Arabia is, who knows, we may see the downfall there. They're going. They may already have picked a couple of guys that they want to put in power. It might be some of these princes who got arrested. But As for the rest of it, I follow somebody, our listeners, Taylor Report listeners, I think they should know. And of course, they should follow Vanessa Beely, Eva Bartlett. But on this particular question, I would say look at Charmaine Narwani, who is the smartest, in my opinion, the smartest working journalist in the region. And she's putting up caution signs in her commentary saying they're trying to create new stories here. And she said, we shouldn't be buying into them as to who did, who, you know, was it a murder? How was it done? Why was it done? I think her writing on this is, she has a Twitter account. You can, you know.
Right. Well, that's a very good point, because as interesting a question is to what happened is, why are the Turks making such a big deal about it, right? And obviously they find it in their interest right now to like not look the other way. But like everybody else, they've looked the other way when it suits their purpose. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So if somebody, you know, exactly, it's really like what's it, the musical chairs? So somebody's going to end up without a chair.
Oh.
And so.
Poor, too bad for him.
It's too bad for who? I mean, we don't know who's going to end up when the music stops. Who's going to be sitting on the floor? But definitely Erdogan has had a dependency on the Saudis, but he has, you know, he's developed some new friends. He also is trying to, you know, try to set a different tack. He's had nasty run-in with the Americans. I mean, really nasty. Now Trump is talking about how he today loves him. You know, 3 days ago he. Ready to blow him up, and now he loves him. We'll see how long that lasts. Of course, we all have to watch Idlib, because it's about to take on a violent, potentially violent moment, because there are armed groups there. And we need Charmaine Narwani to sort us out as to which one of them is which, because some are quitting. See, some of the armed groups are quitting. Now, that means that the people who sponsored either told them to quit, or now you're going to have a wild bunch on your hands. Those who are in for the duration have had primarily relied on Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and I'm not the one to sort it out for you. Charmaine Narwani can definitely do it. But it's clear that we might be in a new violent phase where the Syrian army will have to do its duty of confronting terrorists who will not lay down their arms. And there will be the question of whether or not Israel wants to continue to play. We know that the ante has been upped because new missiles have arrived. And so we're going to go through kind of this. It's like when the pilot says, we're going to experience a little turbulence. We ask you to fasten your seatbelt. We're probably going to have a little turbulence. I don't know how big it'll get. I'm not one to speak apocalyptically, but you always want to remember that major powers with maximum weaponry, including atomics, are at loggerheads here. So, and Turkey has promised to work with Russia to, you know, get those who will quit back out of the way, and then isolate the ones who want to fight, and then see if they actually haven't asked me to join, but anyway, it sorts out what's left so as to minimize the damage to a region and a large community. Anyway, that's Mr. the Khashoggi business.
Well, that brings us up to date on that.